from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
All right, Todd, to feed you some football here on this Monday, NFL Lunch style. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Other side of the glass, we talked about this a couple minutes ago with Eric Edholm, the plantar fasciitis that Justin Herbert is dealing with, which was reported last week. But as Eric said, over the weekend, things look to be a little more concerning for the Chargers than they were when this news first broke. By the way, Los Angeles opens their season September 8th against the Raiders at home.
Bob, I've had plantar fasciitis twice. And the one time when I had it in San Francisco, it was extremely painful. It's in your heel. And it hurt so bad I had to walk on my tiptoe all the time. And you couldn't do anything. And I didn't have a boot or anything. You know, I was just, couldn't run, couldn't do anything. And then I went and I got a cortisone shot in my heel. And I felt, the next day, I was out running again. I felt great. So I don't know. Maybe they'll eventually come to that. I'm not sure. They'll probably try to just rehab and do some things, you know, right now with his foot in the boot, keep it rested.
Now in L.A. with the Rams, Puka Nacua, considered week to week, suffered a knee injury yesterday. This is Adam Schefter reporting from ESPN. However, a source described the injury as not serious, but week to week, it's not day to day, hour to hour.
Yeah.
It's week to week, which means there's got to be some level of concern there.
Yeah, and then Bob, the other thing is I think the Rams have three starting O linemen out week to week. So you got one of your stud receivers out week to week. Yeah, that it hurts you know, the building of your team, and everybody needs reps. I mean, if you didn't need to practice, nobody would practice. So yeah, practice helps. So having them out for weeks to weeks, yeah, that's going to affect your game.
Commanders and Jets kick off their preseasons respectively against one another on Saturday. Dan Quinn, head coach of Washington, said that Jane Daniels is going to get the start in the opener here.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think Derek May should get to play. I think Caleb Williams is playing this week, too. All those young guys. I mean, they haven't played in the National Football League game. And the other thing about it, Bob, is what they see in these preseason games is definitely not what they would see if they're playing in the opener, because the level of talent and level of play will be much faster, and the disguises of the defenses and things, it'll be much more difficult for those quarterbacks.
Tyreek Hill, $90 million contract extension over the next 3 years with the Dolphins, includes $65 million guaranteed.
Bob, I'm not so sure he hadn't been, you know, over the last couple of years. I mean, him and Jefferson are right there being the best, but Hill's probably made the biggest plays. And without Tyreek Hill, what is Tua?
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, now, Bob, when you look at them now, I mean, they paid two receivers, they paid a quarterback. There's going to be a lot of cheap labor at other positions.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of pressure on McDaniel, the coach there, too.
Yep, no doubt.
Because, yeah, they made the playoffs last couple of seasons, but they've been kind of front runners. And once that weather starts to get a little cold and they got to hit the road more often, their performance really tends to dip. I mean, that game against the Ravens, next to last regular season game, was embarrassing.
Yeah.
They looked like they didn't belong on the same field as Baltimore. And in the playoff game against Kansas City, Vinny, they looked like they didn't even want to be on the field. Granted, it was like 40 below.
People were freezing, getting taken to the hospital and stuff. But you know what did kind of impress me a little? Remember when they had to go up to play Buffalo late in the season? They actually played pretty decent in that one.
Sure. Vinny and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. NFL Lunch here on this Monday. Let's get back to the Ravens. And here's Ravens head coach John Harbaugh talking about a player on defense that people have some high hopes for here in 2024. It's Travis Jones.
A breakout season. You know, he's a dominant guy in there right now. And whenever somebody blocks him, I just think it's like it's a superhuman feat almost when somebody blocks him in there. He's like a superhuman player, so we'll see if it pans out in the games. I know it's a high tag to put on him, but let's go for it.
Superhuman? Yeah, that's putting a little pressure on the guy, but you've seen him. Okay, he's not wearing a cape, I'm assuming, out there at training camp, but is he ready to have a breakout season here in 2024?
I think he's capable of that. Now, he trained in the offseason. He went down and trained in Atlanta with Matabike. Because Matabike, he said, hey, I want to come do what you're doing because you had a 13-sack year. So I give Travis Jones credit for that. He wants to. But the thing about it is, Bob, and I don't think we're really going to know till Kansas City because, and I love Linderbaum. Linderbaum's 290-something, you know, where Travis Jones is 340 pounds. And then the right side of that offensive line with Alele and with Rosengarten and even McCary, they're not physical. And he and Travis Jones is physical. When you see their line coming off, that defensive front, they come off, they're yarding the backfield all the time because they don't move them. You know, and that's the problem I have with Falele is you're 380 or 85, whatever it is. You're not knocking anybody off the ball. You're catching. And the O-line catches, and the D-line, they strike.
Are we looking at a possible reality where Patrick McCary starts just because he's one of the five best offensive linemen they have? And, you know, we love his versatility and everything he brings to the equation with that. But, you know, we need, they need someone to assume command of right tackle, and maybe he's the best guy for the job.
Bob, they don't have anybody take command of right guard or right tackle yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, you know, and Harb's wanted that taken care of. The left guard's taken care of. Voorhees is the guy. And Ronnie's good enough. And the right side, we're going into week one preseason. It's going to, because they're good. They're both going to be playing a lot. We'll see if somebody, and the guy who's kind of been disappointing, Bob, is Saleh a little, you know, I mean, he's.
Yeah, I haven't really heard much of him at all.
Nope. And he's playing some right tackle now. They just don't play physical over there on the right side. They're all catching, and they stand up. And when you stand up against those defensive linemen, they're getting driven back. And that's the thing. I'm like, come on. I feel bad for Derrick Henry. There's no holes a lot of times, especially on that right side.
So that's still the biggest concern right now, offensive line, right side in particular.
Yes.
Is it a concern where they're going to have to go outside the organization to get some help, or they're just going to have to settle for the in-house winner of the competition?
I would think, Bob, that they'll probably stay in-house. If they were to go get somebody, I would think it'd be a guard in there. Mm-hmm. But I don't really have a real good feel. I just think they like to stay with their guys. And Bob, they're going to give them at least a couple preseason games unless nobody can do it. And if nobody can do it, then McCary's going to be one of the best five at one of those positions.
Now, in regards to Travis Jones, getting back to him, you just heard John Harbaugh say superhuman breakout season. So, Travis Jones, what do you think about these predictions for you having a breakout year?
I feel like hype. I expect a lot from myself, so when people do the same for me, it's really not no extra motivation or anything for me. I just go out there, put my head down and work.
Well, I think the thing that's good there, Bob, is if people are talking about him, especially at this, you know, after what, two weeks of camp, that, hey, I'm doing some good things. So people, my expectations, the expectations of people around me have grown. So I think that's a good thing, because all that does is say, yeah, he's been doing good. So, and the things that he was doing in the off season paid off. So I think that's a very, very positive thing. And I expect big things from him too, because Michael Pierce is getting older. So I would expect Travis Jones to probably even getting more reps.
Now, in regards to the pass rush.
Yes.
Offensive line, number one concern, pass rush was a strong two. I mean, Travis Jones, a breakout year would help that problem, getting to the quarterback. But is it still on a scale of 1 to 10, where is it rate for you as a concern heading into the preseason opener against Philly on Friday?
I would say it's still like an 8. But, I mean, always look good, but he's got to show it to me in a regular season. If he does something in the preseason, or if he plays in the preseason, so be it. But I'm not going to, you know, if he gets a sack or two sacks against Kansas City on that opener and looks good, and, you know, he's spinning and got new moves and everything, then I might start buying in. Because Vannoy, we don't hear anything about Vannoy. I mean, he doesn't even really show up that much. And they don't have anybody else that's doing anything. So, Matabike, Travis Jones, you know, Matabike, you get 10, Travis Jones, you get your 1.5 up to 5. You know, and Owe, you get, if he can get his 5 to 8. You know, I mean, if he got up to 10, hey, be awesome.
It's 88-81-057 The Fan. When we come back, shift to baseball, the American League East report on this Monday. Look at yesterday's action. Preview tonight's stuff. Not a lot of AL teams, AL East teams in action, but you get the point. We're going to get into the standings update as well. And then bottom of the hour, Jeff Berman, InsideMDSports.com. Mike Loxley got a huge verbal commitment for an offensive lineman, which has been much needed at College Park.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For a long time.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
All right, time for the American League East report here on this Monday. Orioles yesterday, they beat the Cleveland Guardians 9-5 in doing so. salvage a series split four-gamer. After getting overmatched in the first two, the Orioles bounce back nicely, and they take the last two, and they'll leave Cleveland tied for first in the American League's Eastern Division. Corbin Burnes gets the win, his 12th of the season. Gunnar Henderson and Jackson Holliday both had homers. Jackson Holliday, three straight games with multiple hits. Eloy Jimenez had three knocks. Adley, two hits, three driven in. How about old Moon Man? Couple of hits and a walk, so he scores three runs, so he's doing some damage at the top of the lineup. Ryan O'Hearn, he doubled down the line to get the Orioles on the board early. The home plate umpire did not have a stellar game by any stretch of the imagination. Corey Blazer, but improvise and adapt. And if you missed the game, everybody, he stunk for both teams.
Yes.
It wasn't like he was just calling this for this team and for that particular pitcher. If you went up to the plate with a stick in your hand, there was a chance a ball was going to get called a strike, but you got to figure it out, and the Orioles certainly did, and in doing so, got themselves a much-needed win as they got out of town, off today before they hit the road in Toronto, taking on the Blue Jays, who were just in the Bronx over the weekend, taking on the Yankees. And Toronto was doing the Orioles a solid until late in the game, and then it gets into extras. And a guy that had been terrible all season long had a pretty strong week.
Ball game over. Yankees win 4-3. DJ LeMahieu walks it off with a single, and the Yankees take the series 2-1.
Yeah, Yes Network on the call, Michael Kay. Remember, LeMahieu had 13 ribbies going into the finale against Philadelphia, 13 for the season.
Damn.
And he had 6-1 game as the Yankees swept them. But Toronto did take a game, but New York came back. They win the last two. So DJ LeMahieu with the walk-off. Tampa was in Houston taking on the Astros, and a former Terp doing a solid for the Rays there.
That's a shot into right field. Leon is going to watch it on one hop, bound off the wall. Carlson's going to score, and Brandon into second. The ball skips through, backed up by Bregman. And Brandon Lau, 2-for-2 in this game.
That was the only run of the game. It's an RBI double there. Dwayne Statch, Bally Sports on the call, 1-0. Tampa Bay takes out the Astros. In doing so, they win that series 2-1. Boston taking on the Texas Rangers, defending world champions. And how about old Willier Abreu having a day for himself?
Abreu in the air, right field, toward the wall again. His second of the ball game.
Willier Abreu, two home runs. Nesson on the call, 7-2 was the final score, as the Red Sox took 2 out of 3 from the Texas Rangers. Only one game in the division with a team. It's Boston at Kansas City. Serious wild card implications in the first week of August. 8:10 first pitch. Orioles are in Toronto tomorrow. Angels are in New York tomorrow, taking on the Yankees. And the Rays are going to be in St. Louis, taking on the Cardinals. All of that action starts tomorrow night. Standings update, American League East. Orioles and Yankees identical. 67-46 records. Birds have won 6 of 10. Yankees have won 7 of 10. Boston 6.5 games off the pace. Tampa's won 2 in a row. They've won 6 of 10. Now 3 games above .500. Toronto bringing up the rear. They've lost 2 in a row. They're just 15.5 out there. Just bad, bad, bad are the Blue Jays. Guardians 4.5 up on the Twins. Twins are red hot. Winners of 4 in a row, 7 of 10. Kansas City's hanging around too. They've won 7 of 10. They're 5 games off the pace. In the AL West, Seattle has regained control of the division. Now a game up on Houston. Texas 5.5 back. Angels are done. Mike Trout's done, if you missed the news. Yeah. Torn meniscus yet again as his career continues to spiral downward. I mean, injuries are taking away a guy that's one of the most brilliant baseball players we've seen in this generation, and historically so as well. But I don't think we're ever going to see that version of Mike Trout anymore.
He's had, now his knee is bone on bone, and he's going to have arthritis issues and everything else. So His outfield days may be limited, Bob.
Yep, so Mike Trout done for the season with the Angels in the National League. You got the Phillies 6 games up on the Braves in the East. Mets are 8 back. Brewers 5.5 up on the Cardinals. 6 up on the Pirates. And in the West, Dodgers 4.5 games up on the Padres. Padres have won 8 of their last 10 games. We saw them take 2 out of 3 from the Orioles last weekend. Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Wild card standings. If the playoffs started today, which they do not, Yankees, Twins, and Royals would be the American League representatives. You've got Boston 2.5 back, and then Tampa, Houston, et cetera, kind of clanking around there. In the National League, a little more bunched up there as Atlanta, the Padres, and the Diamondbacks would be in. Mets 1.5 back, St. Louis 3 back, Pittsburgh 3.5, San Francisco's 4.5, Cubbies are 6, Reds are 6.5. You get the point. Still a lot of teams hanging around there hoping for some postseason fun in the majors here in 2024. Tomorrow, Grayson Rodriguez on the hill for the Birds, 13-4 with a .386 earned run average. He's obviously looking to pick up his 14th victory of the season, and Toronto just trying to salvage something positive as we're into the final couple months of the regular season. Ravens are on the practice field as we speak. Training camp week number 3. I guess they're back at pads tomorrow. Is that the deal?
I'm not sure. I'm hoping they're back. I'm guessing, Bob, with a game on Friday, pads are either Tuesday or Wednesday, and maybe Tuesday and Wednesday. That would be my guess.
7:30 kickoff Friday. The Philadelphia Eagles come to town. It is not a regular season game, as we know, but two teams with big hopes for 2024. Ravens were one of the final four in the NFL, losing to Kansas City in the AFC Championship game, or Philadelphia for, what, 2.5, 3 months?
Yeah.
They were the best team in football.
No doubt.
And then played like one of the worst down the stretch, and they were dismissed easily in the postseason. They were one and done.
Yeah, and so were their coordinators.
Yeah.
Dismissed easily after the season, both sides of the ball.
So 2 years removed from getting to the Super Bowl, the Eagles in an interesting situation there in the NFC East, where Dallas will be competitive. A lot of people think the Commanders could be a team to keep an eye on. I'm not feeling any Giants threats, at least now. Who knows?
And Dallas kind of, Bob, there's something with Dallas where, you know, a lot of guys are on their last year, coaches, players. I just don't know how the morale is in that locker room.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, Olympic report. Stay tuned for that. Week 2 in France. And then we have Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com. Maryland's football season opens August 31st against UConn. But recruiting has really been on the uptick here. Jeff will talk about that and more. Jeff Ehrman. Jeff, good afternoon. How are you feeling on this Monday?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. Doing all right. Let's talk about the big recruiting get. And I know there was a defection, as you see from time to time, as players tend to flip. But getting a big, big, literally, recruit, 6'4", 295, Jalen Gilchrist out of Virginia, offensive tackle. So tell our audience about this young man and how important he is to this recruiting class, Jeff, that's starting to move up the old rankings here the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Bob, getting him is huge on several levels for Maryland. Obviously, you know, on the field, big, you know, at the line of scrimmage in the Big Ten, Maryland's had its issues since joining the conference 10 years ago on the offensive line. It's really tough to get these kind of top offensive linemen because the supply and demand ratio is so out of whack that so many of them end up going to the blue blood kind of programs. So, you know, he's the highest rated offensive lineman to commit to Maryland in 10 years, since Damian Prince in 2014. Last year they added 10 offensive linemen. It's been a focus for them. So, you know, the future looks really bright for that unit for them. Also, you know, it adds some more legitimacy to this master plan of Mike Locksley's, which is to build this kind of breakthrough recruiting class around a star quarterback, Malik Washington from Spalding High School, and you're close to your neck of the woods, and now you add a blue chip offensive lineman. The rest of the class is strong. They're at, I think, number 26 now nationally in our rankings. And then also Virginia's, you know, despite being a next door neighbor, Maryland really hasn't had much success over the years at all there recruiting players. So now you know, this is one of the highest rated players they've ever gotten from Virginia. They've gotten several other good recruits from Virginia recently, and they have a couple more on their list, so they're starting to break through there. So there are several levels of, you know, positives to come out of the news.
Now, Jeff, as we talk about this year's team, and they've been at practice for a few days now, UConn looming here on August the 31st. There's some skill guys worth a salt for sure from Mike Locksley. But what about the O-line this year, and how's that quarterback competition starting to shake out very early in the process?
Yeah, QB competition, I don't think we'll hear anything of substance until the season gets really close. I mean, I'll correct that. Mike Locksley's not going to give it away until the season's close. We'll probably start hearing some things. But, you know, right now it seems like it's a pretty open competition, obviously, with MJ Morris, the NC State transfer, and Billy Edwards, the veteran, being the top two guys. And then the offensive line is maybe even a bigger question, which might sound ridiculous when you're replacing the all-time leading passer in the Big Ten, but the offensive line lost its entire starting unit. You know, they're relying on a ton of guys that have not played before or have not played much. You know, they have some quality transfers they brought in there, but, you know, that's going to be a big question mark. They did hire a second offensive line coach, Damian Rabluski, from James Madison. That's an unusual scenario to have two guys coaching the offensive line, but, you know, that should help them in terms of, you know, developing these guys they have. But clearly the talent's really good across the board otherwise, but those are the offensive line and quarterback. Unfortunately, you know, their two biggest question areas are probably the two most important positions on the field.
A lot of times, Jeff, what they'll do is they'll put the center guard coach and then maybe tackles, and then the tight end coach, who's also the tackle guy, may work the run game with the tight ends too. That's kind of when they break it up. That's what they do. Now, UConn, what do you think of – what are you hearing about UConn? Because Jim Moore is a good coach.
Yeah, they sound like they should be improved. You know, he's been a significant upgrade over Randy Edsall, if I'm still allowed to say his name over the airwaves in Maryland without – people turning off the show immediately. You know, they're winning more games. They sound like the defense should be improved. Quarterback's still a question mark. You know, they're not going to be the doormat that they've been. At the same time, Maryland should be a pretty hefty favorite, and it's hard to imagine that being anything but a win.
How do you see them, you know, in the Big Ten? Because I saw Big Ten press conference day. What were, Maryland was, what, 11th? Something like that. Do you see them down that much?
Well, the projections look different this year because we're not used to an 18-team conference. So, you know, in previous years, if you heard there's like 10th in the Big Ten, you'd have been like, oh, they're not going to be very good this year. But, you know, you've added four more teams, a couple of whom are blue bloods, especially Oregon right now, along with USC and Washington, too. So, you know, I think where they are is a pretty good spot. If those teams weren't added, they'd probably be, you know, somewhere in the 7 range, I would guess. There's a wide range of projections for them this year, I think largely just because of those questions at quarterback and on the offensive line. But on the flip side, you know, they finally don't have to play Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State. They only play one of those teams this year, so that should help out the win total with them. But you know, I think most people are projecting them right around the middle of the pack, which is not a bad place to be when you've lost, again, the leading passer in Big Ten history.
Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. By the way, Maryland 21-point favorites against UConn, coming here on August the 31st. All right, Jeff, we'll wrap it up. A little basketball recruiting, men. What's the summer been like for Kevin Willard trying to bolster that class? Because, yeah, they're kind of what? I saw Lenardi's bracketology. He's got Maryland as an 11 seed, and they're on the fringe of a lot of top 25s right now. But, of course, we strive higher. We don't want 11 seeds. We want top 4 or 5 seeds. And not wondering where you're going, what the bubble is, like what time we were having a party to watch the first Maryland NCAA tournament game. So give us a recruiting update for old Willard here, coming off a strong recruiting period last year, which brought us Derek Queen, of course.
Yeah, well, earlier, you know, in the spring and early summer, obviously they added a pretty good transfer class, really fortified the backcourt, which needed a lot of help with Jameer Young transferring, especially considering he was basically their whole backcourt last year, essentially. So they did well there with Jacoby Gillespie coming in from Belmont. They really like him a lot. They think he can be, you know, somewhere near that Jameer Young level. Rodney Rice, also at guard, should be solid. And then Selton Miguel, the South Florida transfer, I've been hearing that that he's really been impressive. So I think he could be a sleeper that people aren't going to necessarily realize how good he is until the season starts. High school recruiting, you know, they've been working on some guys, but it hasn't been a commitment parade by any stretch. They're still waiting on several guys going into the fall. The main ones to watch are Chris Jeffrey, a really powerful, powerfully built, classic New York-style point guard, originally from Brooklyn, who plays nearby Maryland at Mount Zion Prep in Lanham. He was a former teammate of incoming Maryland freshman Malachi Palmer. So I think they stand a really good shot with him. And then another guy to watch closely is Jordan Scott. He's a 6'8 forward from South Lakes High School in Reston, Virginia. His mother, Christy Winters Scott, was one of the best players in Maryland women's basketball history. He's ranked number 50 in the country, really talented, high ceiling kind of prospect. So, you know, I think they have a really good shot with both of those guys. And then there's a guard from D.C. named Amari Witherspoon who's got a visit coming up. He was really an unknown mostly coming into the summer, has played really well with D.C. Premier and Under Armour sponsored AAU team. And then there's a few other guys also on the radar. But, you know, these days with the transfer portal and how much focus there is on that, you know, you're not going to spend all of your scholarships on high school kids. So a lot of the news also tends to come in the spring.
Jeff, tell everybody what's happening on the website right now.
Oh, all kinds of stuff. There's lots of recruiting news. Today we actually have the final day of a promo. We're running 60% off your first year of VIP membership. So if you enjoy reading about the Terps and want to get the inside scoop, come check us out.
Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com. Jeff, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll talk to you before the season starts here in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Yep. There he is, Jeff Ehrman, everybody. We'll come back, take a trip through the funhouse, Nolan McGraw, and then Inside Access live from Topgolf coming up at 2.
It's hot with those pads on today.
Have fun with all that. Tez Walker's back at camp for the Ravens, fourth round pick out of North Carolina. Has he opened some eyeballs there so far, training camp? Haven't really heard much about it.
Yeah, haven't. Might be having a little growing pain since the pads came on. But Bob, when I've been out there, I haven't really noticed him. You know, when, like, OTAs and minicamps, I remember I always said, you know, 81 was showing up.
Yeah.
I don't see him making a ton of plays.
Are they set at wide receiver, that being said, or is this another position that might have to get addressed at some point?
I think they probably feel like they're set with Bateman, Flowers, Aguilar, and then probably Wallace, Walker. You know, so I think they probably, and then, you know, three tight ends. I think they probably feel pretty good about where they're at right now.
Running back is this Owen Wright kid. I mean, I'm not saying he's what Keaton Mitchell was last year, but, you know, he's been in the system for a couple of years. Is he making some noise?
Yeah, I kind of like 26 Ali shows up more to me. Bob, that's, you know what, that'll be determined over the next three games. The next 3 weeks will determine who the third running back's going to be. I don't know if Justice Hill will play a lot in the preseason. But the other guys, we'll see who the gamers are.
So, backup quarterback. I mean, Harb's pretty set with Josh Johnson. He's even said he's the number two out of Leary.
And they'll, I would imagine, Bob, I don't see them carrying three quarterbacks. You know, with, you know, I mean, if you cut Leary or... He's going to be sitting around a practice squad. So, I mean, if they've got to get to the third quarterback, they're really going to be in trouble.
But we go back to a popular topic that we discussed, getting to the wide receivers again. Isaiah Likely can kind of play like a wide receiver. That's what we're hoping to see anyway.
Well, he'll be split out a lot, I would imagine. He has that type of capabilities. I don't see him being a great blocker, although, you know, during one of his interviews, he talked about, you know, that his blocking's getting better. No, I mean, it can't get worse. We'll just say that.
Orioles are off tonight. Toronto starts a three-game series there tomorrow as Grayson Rodriguez goes for his 14th win of the season. You got the Olympics second week here. Watch a little kickball. It's Morocco and Spain. Looks like they're tied at one as the bodies are hitting the floor as usual. It's almost like someone like shoots him with a blow dart and then they'd just collapse onto the turf. Yeah. And then they'd get up and run around like nothing happened to them.
But boy, nothing happened to them.
When they hit the deck, man, you would think somebody just slugged them with a baseball bat upside the head. Well, tomorrow is surgery day for the old Bobsters, so I'm going to be on the shelf for about a week or so as I'm getting my second retina procedure, and hopefully we'll get some closure here finally, and I'll be able to see out of my right eye, and then I can go see my man Dr. Spind and get myself some new glasses because I've been wearing these for 3 years. And then Cordell's going to be here, Nolan's going to be here, Vinny's going to be here. So we got you covered for the next week or so. Nolan, any closing thoughts for the people here before we get to that funhouse?
No, let's let the people speak on the funhouse.
I'm sure it's nice and rational and open-minded today. Let's go.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
This texter here says, usually I would be a little upset about the schedule makers giving the O's a pair of series against another AL East team in back-to-back weeks. But with how bad Toronto's been, they're actually a team that I think the Orioles want to face right now. Plus, Mountcastle can bash, as usual, north of the border.
Yeah, I think Kowser's already in the batting box waiting for pitch one. That's how excited they are about this series. But personally, I'd like to see Grayson Rodriguez take it up a notch here in regards to performance, because he got clipped a little bit against Toronto at Oriole Park in Camden Yards. So I want to see Grayson become that number two behind your proven ace in Corbin Burnes. Or maybe Eflin will be that guy that gets the ball in game two. Who knows?
This texter says, I do think Brandon Hyde's going to test Craig Kimbrell in closing opportunities down the stretch. He has to know for sure heading into the playoffs where this guy is at. Ultimately, the bullpen is usually what wins or costs teams in the postseason.
All right. I mean, next save situation is going to answer a lot of questions. And yeah, he didn't pitch Saturday. Didn't pitch yesterday. Non-save situation. But with a day off here, maybe try to get a little work in. If he's pitching better, maybe I'm going to the bathroom during these situations, because he still seems to be laboring a little bit to me, especially with his command. And that's when he goes to the crapper, when he can't throw strikes.
Right.
One more on the Orioles. This texter says, Coby Mayo is facing the same learning curve every Orioles rookie has the past few years. The walks were encouraging in game one. Not sure he got better as the series progressed, but at least they're willing to play him every day. You can't get better in limited opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, Arias will be the other guy that plays third base for them. But it looks like Mayo is going to get the first opportunity to win the job that is now vacant, because Jordan Westberg is going to be out for the rest of the regular season, it appears.
And we'll close with this text on the Ravens. Mentions Devontae Walker. You were just talking about him. Texter says, I will certainly have my eyes on the wide receivers in the first preseason game. Devontae Walker in particular. Something tells me he will be the latest Baltimore receiver to become a preseason darling.
Preseason darling?
Wasn't Prochet always Mr. August?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if they have a quarterback that can get it to him deep. Maybe, well, Leary can throw it, but the O-line could be scary in the preseason games.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. I'll be back when I'm back. I don't know the definitive date. Should be next week at some point in time, but I'll keep you posted, everybody, on the old status. You got Topgolf is where Inside Access is, and we're going to get to them in a matter of minutes. I think it'd be cool if they were, like, hitting golf balls during the show.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah. Or maybe Chuck will be.
Yeah, Chuckle's down there. He's running the board for them. And we're going to have some inside access coming your way. No Orioles tonight. That'll be happening tomorrow with BBT returning, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. That's going to do it for us. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.